Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for November 26th, 2023 is based on Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 23. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagonfield, and the sermon is based on our Advent sermon series, How Does a Weary World Rejoice? And the sermon is entitled, We Acknowledge Our Weariness. A reading from Luke, the first chapter, verses 1 to 23. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among you, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God, and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people were praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him, to turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service had ended, he went to his home. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God, the source of love, hope, and joy. Amen. Well, welcome to the season of Advent, the 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas, where we await the coming Messiah. In our readings during this time, we await the birth of the Christ child, and in our lives, we await the fulfillment of God's kingdom here on earth. As we have mentioned in previous weeks, waiting is not a stagnant, passive state. Rather, we are called to participate in preparing the way for God's arrival. Our theme and artwork for this Advent journey that you'll see on the screens here is provided to us by a multi-denominational worship, art, and liturgy collective named A Sanctified Art. Our series will follow the Jesus birth narrative as told in the book of Luke. Even in the midst of this joy-filled birth narrative, we encounter people who also feel isolation, fear, and disbelief. And so this series is meant to help us acknowledge the weariness of our lives while also seeking real and daily moments of joy. In this weary world and during this season, may we find ways to rejoice. Interestingly, the author of Luke does not start out his gospel with Jesus right away, or even Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph. Rather, he introduces us to a priest named Zechariah. He's old in age and lives with his wife Elizabeth, who we find out is barren and has been unable to provide children. At this point in their advanced age, they're probably resigned to the fact that they will never have children, and are probably hoping for the kindness of extended family or other priestly families to help take care of them later in life when they can no longer take care of themselves. Was this the life that they had imagined for themselves? Who knows? There are many people today who choose not to have children for a variety of reasons and are quite happy with their decision. But 2,000 years ago, it is likely that they desperately wanted children but were unable to have them and had to come to terms with that reality. And then one day, everything changes. Zechariah is given the privilege of entering the sacred area of the temple to burn an incense offering to the Lord. One of the commentaries I read said that this was a very special assignment that most priests only had the chance to do once in their entire life. And as he is offering the incense and his prayer, he experiences an annunciation. Annunciation is a churchy word that means an angel comes to you and tells you that you will be having a child. I think when most people hear that in this story from Luke, they're thinking, yay, finally! Finally, Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to get the child that they have wanted for so long. How joyful! But not so fast. There is probably joy in his heart when he hears this annunciation, but he also has some fear and disbelief. He questions the angel. How can I know that this will happen? For I'm an old man, and my wife is getting on in years. The angel's message has disrupted the life to which Zechariah had resigned himself. You know, work at the temple, go home to my wife, eat, sleep, and repeat for our remaining years here on earth. Except now, there's going to be a baby in the mix. Their first baby, at an advanced age. And his voice has now been taken away. So how does he even explain all of this to his wife when he gets home? Will it change their daily routine? Do they have the energy and patience to raise a child at this age? Put yourself in Zechariah's shoes. What if an angel met you later today to tell you that you are having another child this year? What emotions would you be feeling? I can tell you the emotion shared when I asked this question at our Wednesday morning Bible study to a room of women with the average age of around 70-ish. Their response was not joy. It was more along the lines of what Zechariah expressed, fear and disbelief if it were to happen to them. Can we simultaneously experience both joy and troubling emotions like fear and disbelief? Have you ever had an experience in your life when a major life change came about that was both a blessing and also burdensome? In my years, I've seen it. I've seen it in a couple who finds joy in their engagement, but begins stressing and worrying so much about planning their perfect wedding that it causes them to call it all off and separate. I've seen it when someone finds joy in leaving a toxic work environment, but worries about where their next paycheck will come from. I've seen it when someone finds joy in leaving an abusive relationship, but worries about where they will live and who will be there to support them in their time of need. I've seen it when seminary classmates of mine find joy in graduating from seminary, but worry that it might take several years for them to find a call because they are female or LGBTQ. My guess is that you too have had or are currently experiencing a time in your life when a major life change came about that was also a blessing and burdensome. In those moments, I believe that God is calling us to do our best to silence the power that those fears have over us, that try to take over all of our emotion. The angel mutes Zechariah to teach him a lesson, to tell him that if you allow the fears and the worries and the weariness to take over your life, you're going to miss out on the joy that is present at the same time. It doesn't mean that we should ignore the fears and weariness and worry in our life, but we shouldn't let it overtake us. Because God does not want that for us. God wants us to experience the joys of life. And that joy is rooted in the truth that we all belong to God. God chose you just as you are to be a beloved child of God. God's love, grace, and forgiveness is given freely to you. Yes, each and every one of you. I want to close with a quote from one of the writers of A Sanctified Art. Her name is Reverend Liesel Gwyn Garrity. She says, "I distinctly remember the first time I laughed after my grandmother died. I was standing in my kitchen when joy interrupted my grief like a loud dinner guest. Almost immediately, I felt ashamed. This is no time for joy, I thought. As I processed my emotional dissonance, I wondered why I felt so uncomfortable by joy's intrusion. When did I decide that joy didn't belong with my grief? Who told me that joy is selfish? Wouldn't my grandmother love to hear the sound of my laughter? I've decided that joy is a companion feeling. Almost always it comes alongside other feelings like excitement, sadness, exhaustion, relief, and apprehension. And it's also a transformative feeling. Joy changes you. It can shift your perspective. It can bring warmth to those around you. It will certainly lighten your load. And so this Advent season, if you ever find yourself thinking, this is no time for joy, then I hope you'll reconsider. I hope you'll allow joy to be your surprise guest. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.